Hey everybody, Dave Hodges here, host of the Common Sense Show. Thank you so much for joining us. Really appreciate you being with us, taking time out of your day because you care about America. We are the show here, the Common Sense Show, that is freeing America, one enslaved mind at a time. And it's really a pleasure and a privilege to be here. We have a terrific guest for you today, Bob Griswold. And let's put it this way, he knows how military works. He knows how countries work. But most of all, he's learned through his work experience, he knows how survival works. And we're going to actually take a look at some issues that are threatening the survival of average Americans. And the seeds are already planted. The events are already underway. There's probably no turning back the events, but we'll probably spend a little time talking about solutions. Bob Griswold has one of the most prolific survival stores in the United States. He does something very unique, which I'm very proud of. He will talk to people who call in and say, I have nowhere to start. I don't know what to do with my preparations. And he'll talk to you. And unlike a lot of other places, he won't charge you. We realize the time and the hour of America's survival is very late. We're losing. We're getting our butts kicked nine times Sunday. And we're in this struggle together. And at the forefront are people like Bob Griswold. Bob, welcome to the show. Glad you could join us. And, man, there's nothing to talk about. There's only more computer hacks, the continued drought, the threat to food supplies, tap water. I mean, you name it, there are problems.
Well, Dave, thank you for having me. I was just, time got a little away from me this morning because I was down there just watching these videos of these individuals now that where their tap water in California their well water, it's gone dry. They actually have to a daily routine is to go and fill up everything they can fill up off of city municipal water supply and bring it to their home to flush their toilets, to wash the dishes, to shower with, bathe with, and to drink. And you know, this is a historic drought that we are seeing right now happening. It's unparalleled. We've never seen anything like it. The West is drying up. 60% of the West right now is in a historic drought. I was reading right now the Great Salt Lake in Utah it could turn into a toxic wasteland because it's evaporating. Dave, we are really in some very, very dire times. And, you know, if Americans don't take the heed, the warning, I mean, those that have ears to hear do not take take heed to it and the warning of what's coming and what's here, you know, we're going to see suffering on an unparalleled level. And suffering of people that are good, not the ones that we would sometimes maybe think we'd like to suffer, but no, just the average American citizen, because we bought the news lie that everything's fine, that the government can take care of us, that everything will work out. We are going to find ourselves and our fellow Americans in a situation to where the food is gone, the water is gone, and what food is left, we know how the government will work with that. They'll use the food left to coerce you into the vaccine, the mark of the beast, whatever you want to call it. I mean, they'll use the food that's left to coerce you into doing whatever you want. Food at that time, and I think it's coming very, very quickly, Dave, food is going to be rationed. You're not going to get what you want. I mean, a lot of the food products that we normally take for granted will not be there. When trees die, fruit trees dry, or the nut trees dry, the almonds come out of California, when they die from lack of water, that's just something that you don't plant again and have it next year. It takes 20 years for those trees to grow back after they die from lack of water. And so we are really in a catastrophic time right now that the water will drive the food, and you'll see shortages of both, which we're seeing right now. I still go back to the story of my wife just a couple weeks ago going looking for bottled water, and they just said they hadn't received their deliveries. And we're on the eastern heartland of America. I mean, but it's affecting what's going on out there is affecting us here. Dave, the other day, I don't know if you realize this, that our skies were gray. We're called the Smoky Mountains, but they were really smoky a few days ago because the smoke from the fires out west had traveled all the way across the country and were causing a haze in our sky. Did you realize that?
Yeah, we're getting the same thing here in Arizona, and we're getting kind of a combination of unknown dust, and this is what one weatherman said, and then we're getting the smoke coming in from various fires. Yeah, it's just, and it's not local fires, by the way. It's far away fires, like California fires. It's crazy what's going on. Air quality here is terrible. We have all these ozone inversions. It's almost as if someone's doing this on purpose.
Yeah, and whatever, you know, it doesn't matter who is doing it or if the Lord is doing it. The fact is, it's being done. And right now, if we do not take the little time that we have left and start making plans for the, you know, Joseph, the 7 years of famine, because we've had all these years of plenty, and we've grown fat, we've grown lazy, we've grown expectant on the so-called seven good years. I'm referring back to Joseph in the Bible, of the 7 years of famine, 7 years, the 7 years of good years, 7 years of famine, and so we just think that those 7 years are going on. But Dave, we're seeing a paradigm shift right now. This is not just something that's just once, you know, that's happening for 1 year. We're seeing a major paradigm shift in the weather over the United States of America. And the breadbasket, which California produces 60% of the food that Americans eat, is really running into some issues where they are not going to be able to provide the food that we've grown accustomed to. And with the American debt inflating the way it is, with just trillions and trillions of dollars being printed and given to Americans, they're taking that inflated money out overseas and trying to buy it out of South America or, you know, other countries. It's going to become more and more expensive as more and more countries do not want to take those inflated dollars, or you will get to pay substantially more for the products that we want, and that's going to set in the famine. And once the famine sets in, then, like I said, then you're going to see rationing, restrictions. There'll be things that are not available for Americans to get. Certain foods that we've taken for granted all along will not be available. I've noticed, and I just ask other people that are maybe listening to this program, maybe you've noticed it, but a lot of our grocery stores around here, the food, especially the produce that I see being offered is sometimes not of the highest quality. It looks like, you know, normally what would not be sold is now being sold because perhaps, you know, there's not enough to go around because of these droughts and shortages. So right now, what we talk about, what we do is solution based. And if you refuse to look at, you know, the 7 years of famine, I'm using that as metaphorically, 7 years of famine that are coming to the United States, then you will be one of those people, Dave, that when the government tells you to jump, you will jump. If the government says you don't get any food without doing this, maybe the vaccine, maybe something even more draconian, most people will comply to get food. You know,
I think you're onto something about the vaccine. And here's why I say that. If we just look at the progression now, the NFL is now in conflict with its own players. The number one wide receiver in the NFL, DeAndre Hopkins, has said he's not taking the vaccine. And Fortnite came, he's one of the premier running backs. He's come out and said he supports him and he's probably going to do the same thing. One coach has already been fired. Another one's sitting a year out because they won't comply. And that's just the NFL. And now here in Arizona, where I live, and where I get critical health care treatment with two injections a month for an undisclosed condition, Banner Health, and I'm real worried about this. I talk to nurses, I talk to doctors connected to Banner, and I'm going to say right now about 40% of them are not going to take the vaccine. They're Arizona's largest employer, and they've been told they have until November to take the vaccine. And I'm worried about being able to get health care after the shortages start cropping up. But also, Bob, here's the deal. There's the frog in the boiling pot scenario enters in here. And what I mean by that, it's inch by inch, it's a cinch. They're slowly locking you into, you either take the vaccine or you're out of luck. You won't be able to do what you need to do. And you're right. I believe as they work their way down this paradigm of control, that eventually you're going to have to, if you want to eat, if you want to go into a grocery store, You better have a vaccine passport. I think you're exactly right.
Yeah, Dave. See, the thing is with a vaccine passport, I do not have to go to a sporting event. I don't have to go to a restaurant. You know, there's a lot of things I don't have to do that are already in play. You can't go to a public event of some sort or another without the vaccine passport. But, Dave, I have to eat. And, you know, what they're going to do a workaround, the Supreme Court, which I guess is saying that, you know, mandated vaccines are illegal. They won't mandate the vaccine. They'll just say you can't buy food without the vaccine. And you know, all the big tech stores will immediately fall in. Even online stores will fall in that you're not being compliant. So if you want to think you're going to buy food from Amazon or other, you know, these online stores that sell food, they're still going to ask you for your vaccine passport. And you're going to find yourself locked out of the ability to acquire, you know, food, water. As I was mentioning, these families in California where their wells have run dry and they have to just do, you know, extraordinary measures to get water to their home every day. And we can't imagine not pushing the flush button on the toilet and, you know, having that go down into the septic system or the, you know, the drainage system. But they have to pour water into their toilets daily to be able to flush. You know, they have to have, you know, they can't take a regular shower. They just have to get so much water in the bathroom and just damp themselves down and wash and rinse themselves off. That's their shower. You know, but, you know, when you have water coming into your home and you have to have the vaccine passport to get that water keep flowing into your home, then, you know, you got to find out the power that the government has. And because we've not pushed back hard enough, we've allowed them to do what they've done. They've just gained more and more power day by day, and eventually those that resist government tyranny are going to be pushed out of the system. And now you might have to be pushed out of the system, but if you're prudent right now and you had maybe some inkling on how to store water, how to collect water, it does rain. There are public waterways, maybe not near you, but I mean, there are ways to acquire water. Even storing bottled water now, how to recycle water, like I said, rainwater collection, if you're in an area you get rainwater. These are things that you want to start considering now, because water is the one element of life that you'll need on a daily basis. You can go days without eating food, but you cannot go any time without drinking water. And those two elements will be what this system uses to bring you into compliance. Mark my words, Dave. It will be what the system uses to bring you into compliance. So we just don't want to, you know, throw something out there to scare people, even though it should scare us that the government has allocated to itself such power. We want to have a solution on what you can do about it. And I know you live in Arizona where you might not receive that much rain, but you can still maybe acquire bottled water. You can get 55-gallon drums of water and fill them up and store them in your garage. You know, and I tell this to people, Dave, if you store water at all, people go, well, how do I make sure it's good so it stays good? Well, there's recipes online using bleach.
Well, let's hold that thought right there. We got to go to a break, but I want to come back and talk. That's a good question. People ask me the same question. If I buy one of these $50 or 50-gallon water drums, Dave, how do I know it's going to work? And how do I know we're not going to die? We need to hit that, plus other issues here threatening our survival. We're going to talk about them all right here on the Common Sense Show. But first, I want to tell you, and this is very timely to what we're talking about. As you know here at the show, we represent MPS. And in my opinion, this is the best storable food in the world, both in terms of pricing, availability, and quality. In fact, I've tasted this restaurant quality. It's good. I can live on this. There's lots of diversity. There's 25-year shelf life. This is really, really important, folks, because you'll habituate to the same food if you don't have diversity. And you get 2,000 calories per day. I don't know that I need that, but a lot of people are going to need that kind of caloric expenditure to get through their day because of what they do. How do you take advantage of MPS? Well, let me tell you, they're going to take advantage of the situation by saving you money. They're going to give you 25% off. The details are at preparewithdave.com. That's preparewithdave.com. Also, ladies and gentlemen, we represent Noble Gold, and we're going to have hyperinflation. We're already seeing elements. We're at a 29-year high for inflation. The feds are doing the unthinkable, which is thinking about raising interest rates. The economy is in a mess, and Biden is his purpose to, in office for his administration is to drive America into the ground. And the primary way that they're doing it is through the economy. Now, are there things you can do to have a softer landing? Yes. And you'll find out when you call the people at Noble Gold why I went from just advertiser to customer. Yeah, I'm a customer. I'm a frequent customer. In fact, we're buying more silver this week. So, ladies and gentlemen, you need to listen to me very carefully. If you have assets to protect, you owe it to yourself to call Noble Gold at 877-646-5347. That's 877-646-5347. Tell them Dave Hodges of the Common Sense Show told you to call. And, wow, we're back with Bob, and goodness gracious, we're starting to pile on here to the mechanisms of the installation of the Marxist communist state known as the Biden administration, although I don't think he's going to be around real long. But Bob, let's go back to where we left off before the break.
The water storage.
I have a couple of 50 gallon drums, so I'm paying close attention. Go ahead, please.
Okay, well, there's Dave, there's recipes online, and here's the important thing. During a crisis, you cannot afford to contract a waterborne illness. They can be deadly to begin with. There are drugs that treat the waterborne illnesses, but you most likely want to have access to them. So there's safety protocols we do. You have to drink water, and you have to drink clean water. Cryptosporidium, Giardia, even different funguses or bacteria in water, spores can make you very, very ill. So this is what I tell people, because I receive this question all the time. Yes, you can put bleach in your water, and there's recipes online to see how much bleach you put in a certain size water. Keep in mind that when you fill up a 55-gallon drum, you're right at 500 pounds. So make sure you fill it up where you want to have it, and that you have a way of getting it out of the thing, a drum pump, so that you can do that. But here's the real thing, Dave. I will never drink water, no matter how well I've preserved it, that I do not filter. I mean, the different filters out there. Don't ever drink it. It doesn't matter how well you've done it. Like I said, you cannot afford to get a waterborne illness at this time. It will incapacitate you. It will most likely...
It's worse than that, Bob. I've been reading about the Naval War College and their projections. A lot of them tied to EMP. But they say that on the fifth day of a crisis, waterborne illnesses become the number one cause of death.
Well, they do, and people don't realize, because we don't live in a third world country, we're heading towards that, but we don't live in it right now, that people die daily all around the world from waterborne illnesses. If you think I'm just going to go down to that, you know, nice stream that's crystal clear, that, you know, trickles through this the woods, and you know, I'll be able to drink that water, you're going to get sick. That water's probably filled with animal feces and other things, maybe runoff from farms, nitrates, that are going to make you very sick. You have to have the ability to filter water. So, Dave, the War College is completely right. There's going to be massive amounts of people who get sick. The drugs that do work, I mean, they're going to be held for the people that need them the most. I remember, I forgot what government it was, withheld the hydroxychloroquine from the general population because they knew it worked, and he was saving it, what was available for the people he knew and his cronies. So I think it's Flagyl is one of the drugs that they use. Even if it's available, it'll only be available to a few, the elite. They'll save it for their own. You won't have it. You won't have it available for you. So here's the key, Dave. You have to have a personal water filtration system in your home. Which one do you sell?
The Alexa Pure Pro water filter.
It doesn't matter if you've been the most diligent person on the planet and preserving that water, putting the bleach in it just the way you're supposed to do. Do you want to play Russian roulette with your water? And that's exactly what you're playing. If you run it through the water filter, then you're very assured that you're not going to get sick. This is why it's very important to have one, because, you know, I people have told me all along, I know I've got this water source, I've got that water source. I am not going to gamble my health on, you know, something that may or may not be after a crisis. The water filtration system is exactly what you need. And for some people, it's going to mean storing water. The average person is going to need 2 gallons of potable water a day, minimum. So, you know, the 55-gallon drum is a good way to store it. Even if you store them in your garage, you can, you know, put the drum pumps in and pump out that, you know, what you need into a smaller bucket, and then run it through your water filtration system, and then you'll have the ability to drink it.
Well, Bob, before we do that, you talk about the drum pumps. We got people taking notes right now, I guarantee you. Most people who listen to this show are not like the average American that has 3 days of supplies. Most of them here are pretty responsible and they've taken good steps, but I don't think most people are familiar with things like drum pumps. Can you address that?
Sure, absolutely. You know, if you look at a 55-gallon water drum, it has two holes in the top. They're threaded holes, okay? A drum pump is just a pump. It's a manual pump. They work different ways. There's rotary ones that you turn a little handle, and there's other ones you just push the top down. But you put the pump into the barrel. It has a, you know, a little hose that goes all the way down to the bottom, and you start pumping the water out of the barrel. I mean, if that barrel weighs 500 pounds, 8 pounds per gallon, 55 gallons, and you try to, what, tip it over to get some water out of it, that's not going to work too well. You know, I'll just tip it over enough so a little bit of water comes out. That's not going to work well. You know, there's other ways you can store water in smaller amounts. One of the things... a water brick, say, there's a company that makes things called water bricks. They're 2.5 gallons each. You know, one of the nice things I tell people you can do with a water brick is take one of those. It has a screw-on lid. Fill it up 2.5 gallons, so you about 20 pounds. Put it in your freezer and keep it in there frozen. If the power goes out, Dave, just take that water brick out of the freezer and put it in your refrigerator. Now, it's not a long-term solution, but it'll last. If you had a couple of them and put them in your refrigerator, it'll keep your food cool for about 3 days. So, like I said, it's not a long-term solution, but it is a solution for short-term refrigeration, short-term power outage. And at the end of that 3 days, you just take the water out and drink it, or whatever you need to use it for. So there's things that you can do, but if you're living in a state right now that is experiencing this drought, I would say with post haste, make sure that you would have 30 days minimum water in your home. So if it's one person, 30 days is 60 gallons. If it's two people, it's 120 gallons. It's minimum. Make sure that's stored in your home. The nice thing about the 55-gallon drums is you can store a lot of water in a small place. The downside is the weight of it. So keep that in mind. If you live in an area that freezes, keep in mind that, you know, once that water turns into ice, it's a lot harder to get it out of there. So you need to find a place that generally will keep it a little warmer above freezing, so that you can use the water easily and not have to, you know, somehow get it out of the barrel frozen, which basically means cut it open. And then ruin your barrel. So this is what America's coming to, and we're already here. I mean, they're calling this a 1,000-year drought, Dave.
I don't believe that, Bob. I've read Nick Begich's books. I've read the patents. I've read Air Force Owning the Weather 2025 before most people did. I know a signatory to that document, and I'm telling you, this is all planned. This is not an accident. Let me just finish this thought. Let's consider this in the totality of what we're dealing with here. You've got this mega drought, and it's going to affect crop yield dramatically. It already is. But you've also got Gates and Biden saying you're going to eat bugs, and Biden said you can have a hamburger a month. I mean, this is stuff he said. I know he's demented, But I think he was on target for his administration when he said that. And then you've got the meat packing plants mostly still shut. You got the food supply chain that's broken. My wife went into a major department store in a suburb of Phoenix, about 6 weeks ago. They had no milk in the entire store. We're seeing pricing up of food, but we're also seeing packaging levels going down with volume. I could go on and on. It's part
two
of the overall
there,
plot
I don't think we
against
skip over those
America's
points.
Food supply.
Yeah, I don't think we should skip over those points you just made. One of them is, and just check it out for yourself, you know, it used to be a quart. It used to be a gallon. And now they're making those portions smaller and smaller so that you're buying, you know, 3.5 quarts. You're not buying a gallon of ice cream anymore, or half a gallon of ice cream. You're buying a certain portion of a gallon of ice cream. They're making the portion smaller. They're not telling you they're doing that, but they're keeping the price the same or raising it. So you're being hit with in some cases, a double layer of inflation. The unit that you're buying is smaller, and the cost is going up. So pay attention to that, ladies and gentlemen. And this is the thing. You know, if I sell a piece of property and make $5,000, I've got to pay capital gains on that. If I buy if I buy food today, which we have to understand, the grocery stores and a lot of fast food restaurants and chain restaurants are buying and stockpiling food ahead of time because they want to beat the inflation. You know, so this is the one way to beat capital gains. If I buy, you know, a loaf of bread for a dollar, and store 20 loaves of it, you know, and the bread goes up to $2, I can eat the bread and not pay capital gains tax on it. So it's a way to experience, to protect yourself from inflation, protect yourself from really what would be considered a capital gain, and not have to worry about the tax man concerning it, because they're going to want to get their tax on anything that ends up being a capital gain. But when you buy food in advance and food inflation hits in, and all of a sudden you realize, man, a month ago that was a lot cheaper. You've really done you and your family such a service by buying it ahead of time. Dave, I know you, the My Patriot Supply, but all the freeze-dried food suppliers right now are in, you know, all of them are saying prices will go up. I was doing
it's going to be called food inflation, and Bob, it's going to be hyperinflation for the economy.
Hyperinflation,
too.
Dave, I was on one of the very, very large food supply companies this weekend, looking at their inventory from a wholesale, a dealer perspective, dealer portal. Okay, I'm not going to say the food company, but three meats: the diced chicken completely out, the diced hamburger completely out. They did have diced beef, and that was, it said limited supply, low inventory. That's the other side of the equation we've been talking about, is that, you know, the price is definitely going to go up, and I can tell you, just knowing that brand of food, that, you know, what used to be $200 a case is now $400 a case, and that's over a couple years, but that's the reality of it. The price has doubled. And then the availability, the other side of the equation, it's not available. At any, you can't buy it. And we're going to see more and more of that happen. And not on top of on top of that, we're going to see access to it controlled by those who conform to government mandates and restrictions.
Well, there's another aspect to this too, and you just talked about it. If you've got storable food, and you're deemed to be a resistor. A violent domestic extremist is now the term that Homeland Security is using to describe people that oppose any of Biden's policies. And I mean any of them. It's not about you want to blow up buildings. It's about you don't want to go along with the criminal Marxist installation against our constitutional republic. So you better learn to hide your resources. Can you address that?
Well, yeah, absolutely. You know, I was just reading an article that paper silver versus physical silver. You sell silver and you want it. You don't want paper silver because they say the paper silver market is this article said was 275% oversold to what was really on hand. 275%. That means for every silver ounce, every three silver ounces they've sold, there's only one to meet the demand. So when the musical chairs game starts, you know, you're going to be the one left without the chair to sit in, because you'll have bought paper silver. You know, I bought it. They say it's there waiting. I can redeem it anytime I want, just like the old silver certificate. I could take it out of the bank and get 4 silver quarters with it. Well, the same thing applies to those who would, you know, possibly own food. The government is going to know if you've talked, if you've bragged about this, if you've let other people know, because what's going to happen is the government is not going to go door to door. They're smarter than that. They're going to send the hordes of neighbors out and promise them extra rations if they turn in those that have large hordes of food. And so this is where operational security is so important. I mean, just don't tell people. Pretend like you're just like every other sheep in the slaughter line. You know, don't tell people what you have. There's a case in the Bible where one of the kings brought a neighboring enemy king and started showing them all the implements in the temple. And, you know, the prophet came to that king and said, "You're a fool. You're a fool. You've just shown your enemy the spoils he's going to take from you." And they did. So this is where operational security comes in so much into play. You know, be discreet. Don't, you know, have it to where if it's in your garage, people can see it when you open your garage door. A simple tarp will at least keep it, you know, from being exactly what it is. You cover it up. If you can put it under beds, put it under beds. If you can store it somewhere, if you have a crawl space in your house, you know, underneath the house, you can put it up underneath there, and keep it out of sight. Out of sight will be out of mind. When your neighbors are getting hungry, they're not going to be thinking, "Oh, let's go down to Dave's house. He's got food," because you know you've been less than prudent in your security. You've been less than prudent, and so they're going to know you go down there. Now that puts you in an awkward position, because then you're going to have to say, "I'm going to have to shoot my neighbors to protect my food, or I'm going to have one great big share fest, and it'll all be gone, and I'll be like everybody else at that point, you know, with nothing left in my home to feed my family with." And to think there's going to be any nobility amongst people when they get hungry is painfully and historically naive, Dave.
Yeah, I'm stuttering here because I can't believe that this government thinks we're that stupid. But the sad part is, not every audience, I mean, let's put it this way, our audience is not a representative demographic of the country. Bob, when I'm out in public and I just speak to people casually, I don't hit them over the head with what I know, because I learned a long time ago they get glassy-eyed and think you're nuts. But I hear how people rationalize the world they're living in right now, and they may as well be watching Disney from childhood. That's about as much sense as they're making. The fantasies, the taking CNN seriously, Biden has bad days, but he'll be okay. I mean, I had someone actually tell me that. Oh, Harris is doing a wonderful job. At what?
Yeah.
Let me share this thought with you. I don't know if you remember this or not. And Mark Levin actually covered this on Fox, and I love Mark. I mean, he's a great American, very talented in what he does. But he said something that I had almost forgotten. When Trump was pushing through warp speed, and he was taking credit for it, which he should have, and I'm not saying I'm on board with taking credit for anything that's as bad as the vaccine, but he said, "Yeah, we'll have this ready." And then when everyone said, "Oh, that won't happen. And then when it started becoming a reality, Mark played two clips. One was of Biden. "Oh, I don't know if we can take this vaccine from Trump this soon, because there's just too many questions about it. It's unproven." And Harris just, she did her, you know, witch hen cackle. And then she said, "No, I don't trust anything produced by Donald Trump." Well, I'm sorry, folks. Right now it's being mandated that you take Donald Trump's vaccine. I mean, how duplicitous can these people be?
Well, Dave, there is no end to their duplicity. I mean, every time they speak, they're speaking something different. I mean, how many positions has Fauci had? I mean, I just don't know if the numbers go that high.
Did we flatten the curve after 15 days?
Yeah, I mean, well, I mean, he's just said so many things. I mean, he got busted the other day by Rand Paul about funding, you know, gain of research, gain of function research, where Paul read him his own definition of what it was, and in the money that he gave to Wuhan through a shell corporation, he defined what he was looking for by his own definition, and then he denied that he funded gain of research, gain of function research. It was just like, I mean, he'd been totally exposed as a liar, and yet they have no problem keeping it up because they know they will never be brought to justice.
No, you're exactly
and so,
right.
And so we know this. Dave, we know all this is happening. There, if you think rah rah rah, a justice is coming, you know that you still believe in those 90,000 million whatever arrest warrants that are just hanging somewhere. I mean, quite frankly, you're not going to
make it. If you're talking about QAnon, you may recall that I was out in front with some other people saying, don't listen to QAnon. I mean, the second time he pulled that, no, it's not going to be 60,000 in Gitmo. We're going to have to put that off a little while, but it'll be 100,000 the next time. The second time he pulled that, I said, this is a psyop, absolutely a psyop. Bob, hold it right there for a second. I'm going to step aside and tell you this. Ladies and gentlemen, I remember interviewing John Moore, real hero, Green Beret, Vietnam vet. And I asked him, I said, John, what was your most scary moment in Vietnam? And he said, when we lost communications.
Absolutely.
We have an August 11th date coming up where the government's going to simulate exactly what John talked about, only we're going to do it on an entire societal level. My number one concern is it could end up being become a snap drill where you're doing the drill and all of a sudden it turns to real reality, and that's how some false flags get initiated, like the London subway bombing back in 2007. So I'm worried about that. But number two, I'm going to say this to you, America, and then maybe you'll take this what I'm going to tell you about this product seriously. If the government's worried about takedown, and that includes power and communications, shouldn't you be worried about it too? And that means your cell phone will go down. Boy, there'll be a lot of craving addicts when that happens. And that also means that your power is going to be out. Okay, well, what if your family's spread throughout a city when this happens and there's no warning, and there probably won't be a warning? How are you going to rally your family together? How are you going to get them on into one area where you can work for each other's survival? Answer, you won't. But if you have a sat phone from the satellite phone store, it's very, very difficult for the government to interfere in sat phone communications. And a lot of people say it's impossible. I don't put much past the NSA, but I'm putting it this way. If I have to put my faith in something, whether it's a cell phone or a sat phone, I know what I'm putting my faith in. And so I want you to call and talk to these people, because it's something you need to consider. And people say, well, Dave, it's too expensive, I can't afford it. Well, listen to me. The sat phone that I use is 1/4 of the cost of my cell phone bill. And it will vary from person to person, but I'm just saying that it is affordable. Give them a call at 855-980-5830. 855-980-5830. Tell them Dave Hodges told you to call. Bob, it's kind of an interesting segue here. We've talked about this.
Can I mention something about what you just said?
Yeah.
When in a situation like that where you're going to be needing to contact people under when there's extreme duress, you're not going to get on your sat phone and go, hey, what's the weather like over there? You know, what are you having for dinner? Did you see my latest email Facebook post? You're not going to do that, because the longer you're on a communication method, no matter what it is, the higher probability you can be tracked. So you need to understand, you know, when you're using any kind of communication device, you want to get business done. You want to, you know, if two of you have the communication methods, you want to have maybe a few code words that you could use, you know, that you know, you know, Delta location, whatever you want to do, that you know that you're going to spend a little time as possible on the communications method, so that you can convey what needs to be done without sitting there, you know, chatting and asking all kinds of questions and doing that. You know, at that point, you want to just get to directly to the point and get to where you and your loved ones can get back together again and, you know, make yourself an effective force to defend your family and your loved ones. So, you know, that's the thing, Dave, that people need to understand. It's not going to be, you know, chit-chat holiday. It's going to be emergency communication where you're talking, you know, my wife, let's get home. You know, here's where we're going to be. Let's do this, this, and this. And I'll see you on the side. If you need to contact me because something happens, give me a call back. But I love you, honey, and I'll see you soon.
Interesting.
That's where you need to take that.
No, I agree. I want to digress back to something we talked about previously. This just crossed my desk. It's dated the 28th of April. I can't believe I missed it. For those of you who want to take notes on this, this is an official communication in the government of New Zealand from their Ministry of Justice. And they're referencing OAI 87181. That's their reference number. So if you want to go in and see if they'll honor a FOIA in New Zealand, that's where you'd go. But I'm just going to read you a couple excerpts here, Bob. It says, Official Information Act Request, Legal Status of the Nuremberg Code. And they're referencing this with regard to the vaccine requirements that New Zealand's beginning to implement. They have isolation camps, too, and have had for some time. And it's a communication. It says, thank you for your email about inquiring about the legality of enforcing mandatory vaccines under certain conditions with regard to how this figures into the legal status of the Nuremberg Code in New Zealand. And it says specifically we're addressing, and then it gets into more detail here. But here's what I want to say. At the end of this communication, I'll just skip down here to the bottom. It says, I am advised by the Ministry of Health that the Nuremberg Code has no status in New Zealand legislation. So if it has no status in New Zealand, I don't see how it's going to have status in America. I think they'll use the same excuse. Bob, mandatory vaccines, not just through businesses, but through government, are coming.
Yeah, the Constitution has no status in the American jurisprudence system anymore. I mean, if they don't care about the Constitution, if they can move with impunity against, you know, the most cherished rights of Western civilization, speech, religion, ownership of a firearm, being secure in your home, if they can move against those and basically thumb their nose at the Constitution, do you think they're going to worry about some Nuremberg trial edict that happened, you know, over in Europe? No. They could care less about those things. These people, we have to understand, are lawless, Dave. They do not put themselves under the same law they expect you to live by. By definition, they are lawless. They are rebels. They are anarchists. They reserve the right to themselves to do whatever they want. I was watching a video recently on the Inquisition. You know, and they use torture to make you extract a confession, which was even at the time in the Middle Ages was against the legal code of the day. But they could torture you to make you confess against yourself. Now, I mean, with that kind of mindset that these people have, and they have an inquisitional mindset, you know, torture them. And look what's happening to the QAnon guy in prison. I just read an excerpt off Matt Bracken's website. This guy has been psychologically raped every way you can be raped. Now, I don't agree with what he did, but I mean, our Constitution, Dave, says inhumane punishment is illegal. I mean, this guy has been tortured. He's been fed soy food. He's not allowed to work out. He is in isolation. If he does anything wrong, he's put in basically a cold weather torture chamber. He sleeps on a piece of steel with a thin mattress on it. And he's having his whole psychological profile is breaking down right now. They don't care. The Constitution says you can't do that, but they're doing it anyhow. So, I mean, we need to get over this idea that somehow these reprobates somehow obey some law. They don't. I mean, you name one of these major Democratic politicians that hasn't broken, you know, a dozen capital felonies and gotten away with it, and nothing's ever done. Cuomo, I mean, I murdered 12,000 people, and I've sexually molested basically every woman in my state, but nothing happens to me.
Yeah, well, we have another piece of breaking news that fits into what we're talking about. Resource shortages, and then we've also gotten into the mandatory nature of the encroaching vaccine requirements. But listen to this, and tell me this is not going to be used against us. A pill version of COVID-19 to start clinical trials in Israel. In other words, they know they're not going to get full compliance with the jab. They already know that. They see the evidence of it. So now they're hoping to soften the blow. Well, it's not going to have to take a vaccine. We have an alternative now for you. It's called a pill. They're determined. You know, and here's the other thing that bothers me about this, too. When I taught research to students working on their dissertation at the postgraduate level in the university, and I did that for 4.5 years, one of the things we did was use medical modeling. In other words, we're going to teach you how control group, experimental group, placebos, all that stuff works. We're going to use medical profiling from the FDA when they were really stringent on getting drugs to market where it'd take 5 to 10 years. And we used to use those protocols. So this is something I know really, really well. And no one should take the vaccine because they didn't go through the standard protocols, and it's an experimental vaccine, and yet it's being required. That is so illegal. I mean, I'm not a lawyer, but I have experience in teaching this material. This is illegal. They didn't even do animal studies, and now they got these pills. And here's the thing that really bothers me. I learned about herd immunity through my teaching process. We're ignoring herd immunity. I also learned about the fact that once you've had a virus, your antibodies are higher than any vaccine can be, but they still want you to take the vaccine if you've had if you've already had the virus. And that's dangerous because now you're overloading your system with antibodies and you can get all kinds of side effects.
Cytokine storm is what it's called.
Exactly, yeah. Ted Brewer and I talked about that on the air the other day.
So... But you know, Dave, it's not about the health of the American people. You know, we might conjecture over the more nefarious issues that they're trying to come up with, the mass death of millions, but the science is there to prove, first of all, social distancing doesn't work. Masks are not only don't work, but are harmful. Science is there. It's there. And the fact that most people who get this disease, what, 99.5% of people who get it, overcome it naturally. Their immune system works. The people who do die from it have usually a couple of other extenuating circumstances in their body, you know, things that have gone wrong in their body, and they're, for whatever reason, their immune system has been compromised. And on top of it, Dave, I always ask the question, what happened to the regular flu? I mean, that sounds like a simple question, but to me,
yeah,
it's pretty profound.
I have your answer.
What
don't
happened
ask,
to the regular flu?
Don't ask
Where did
this,
it go to?
Don't ask this as a rhetorical question, Bob. There is an answer. Last year, and it's interesting you bring this up, I was just explaining this to my wife last night at dinner. I railed last April of 2020, and then again in May, when acting director of the FDA, Hahn, came out and said, due to the emergency nature of our situation in the pandemic, we are not going to require third-party validation to prove that these tests work. Now, I'm interjecting to prove the tests work, but that's what he meant. In other words, we're going to take the word of these companies that what they've produced works. Well, no company is going to spend millions of dollars developing something that intricate and then say, oh, just, we messed up. That's why you have third-party validation. I went ballistic. This went against every tenet I know to be true about proper research protocols. And that was in April. And in May, he doubled down on the comment. And in August, he tripled down on it. And I just said, this PCR test is garbage. This is the way that they're probably inflating the numbers of diagnostics. And you said, what happened to the flu? I guarantee you, the PCR test was expanded to the point where they started incorporating first cousin relatives to COVID-19 to inflate the numbers, to basically exacerbate the fear among the people and make them controllable. And now, I don't know if you saw this, but on Friday, the FDA came out and said the PCR test is invalid. The very thing I was saying over a year ago, Bob. We have been scammed to the nth degree.
You know, Dave, if some company, unless it was a Democratic company, a big Democratic, but if some regular company had done this to their you know, people they provide for, all the leadership would be in prison. I mean, this is not only fraud, this is RICO. This is everything that you can imagine, that where you have taken public trust and abused it criminally abused it, and for your own profit, and to increase the power base of your political party. That's what's happened here. And so, Dave, you know, we touched a lot of issues this morning, but all of the water, it'll be used at the end, for whatever reason it's happening, in the end, it'll be used as a control mechanism. The food, the shortages that are here and coming, and will be used as a control mechanism.
Bob, we're getting short on time, but I want to interject this because I also want you to talk about how you can help people. But I was just reading about Stalin the other day, and he actually made the comment to one of his subordinates. It was a New York Times reporter, Durante, and the New York Times sent him there to prop up Stalin. And he told Durante, and this is in Durante's memoirs, but he published the opposite to further the Stalin myth, he's a good guy. He told Durante that there's too many people to kill in Ukraine, and we should kill them, almost all of them. So what we're going to do is just starve them to death.
They burnt down all their wheat fields.
And this is what communists do. By the way, it speaks to the New York Times' complicity in communism, too. Bob, you've got a really good operation going, and I think it's the best in the country. And I've been a willing customer here of this. And so I want you just to take a minute, as people are going to say, okay, Dave and Bob convinced me today. We're a lot farther down the road of insolvency for resources than we thought before we listened to this show. So how do I get a hold of Bob, and what can Bob do for me?
Well, you know, Dave, just throw this in real quick. But on top of it all, we just saw the largest computer hack of the system ever. And one of the credit card processing services we use, I don't want to mention their name, but, you know, it use your cell phone to process credit cards. They went down. Now, they sent out this nice little thing that says, you know, we found a temporary little glitch in our system, and we've worked hard so it won't happen again. Well, I mean... That sounded really nice, but you still couldn't process your credit card. And so, Dave, on top of all these other control mechanisms, the financial control mechanism is going to be the big one. You can't process your credit card. You're not approved. You're a whack job conservative, so you don't get your credit card approved anymore, and then you can't even buy. You can't buy any. So that's where that's heading. That's another discussion. But they can call me. I'll gladly talk to people. I've had a lot of experience with this, and I'll gladly and freely talk with you at 800-627-3809. Again, call me at 800-627-3809. My website is readymaderesources.com. Visit there. And again, if you have any questions after you've looked there, give me a call, 800-627-3809. But Dave, I just want to state this. Time is very short.
How short, in your opinion?
Well, I think day by day we're watching the United States be dismantled. And there's coming a day, I think, very shortly, within a year, maybe shorter, that we're going to see very, very draconian methods put into play. And they're going to use all of these aforementioned things, the droughts, the famines, you know, the debt bomb, possibly war, terrorism. You know, they're going to use all these things to corral the human race into a net that's going to drive them into the slaughterhouse. And if you don't believe that, just go read the Georgia Guidestones and see what their tenets for their new utopia are. And that's really basically to get rid of 6.5 billion people. I don't know how they plan on getting rid of them. You know, they're not going to die of old age. They're going to murder them somehow.
Well, no, I'll give you two. One will be the food, and the other will be, well, Marjorie Taylor Greene came out, and I got to make this quick because we got 20 seconds, and she talked about race-specific Chinese bioweapons.
Yep.
Well, you know, Bob, I've been writing about that for 3 years, and you know that. And I quoted the Weifang's defense ministry speech to the CCP. That's not new. They plan to wipe us all out, minus the 14 million indigenous Chinese that are in this country. Absolutely incredible. Bob, we're flat out of time, but I just wanted to say readymaderesources.com is where you want to go. Folks, I tell you, I deal with Bob as a customer. It's fantastic. And Bob, really important stuff. I don't say good stuff. Really important stuff. Thanks so much for being with us. We got to scoot. We're up against the hard. Bob, we're up against the hard break. Okay. We got to scoot. So, ladies and gentlemen, thanks for joining us. We'll see you next time.
Bye.